Pardon me, everyone. This is the operator. Just need to inform you that today's conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect your line at this time, and you may begin.
Thank you, Lori. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the IGO-INGO Working Group call on Wednesday, 23rd of October, 2013 at 16 UTC. On the call today, we have Jim Bykoff, Alan Greenberg, Catherine Gribben, Stefan Hankins, David Hisley, David Maher, Jude Lauter, Thomas Rickett, Greg Shadden, and Claudia McMaster-Tamarit. We have apologies from Ricardo Gillum, Osvaldo Novoa, and Joanne Tang. Christopher Rassi will be joining us a little later. We have from staff Barry Cobb, Mary Wong, and myself, Julia Chavelin. May I please remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Thomas.
Thank you very much, Julia. My name is Thomas Rickert, and I'm chairing this working group. As usually, I would like to learn from the group whether there are any updates to statements of interest, or whether you have suggestions to amend the agenda. Still trying to make my way into the Adobe Connect. I'm hearing none, and I'm hoping that Barry would let me know if there were any hands in the Adobe.
No hands.
Thank you. So we can move to the next agenda item, and that is a quick status update between last week and this week. Pretty much the status remained the same. We, as you know, we are currently in the reply period of the public comment period for the draft final report of the work of our working group, and we've received public comments, which are in the public comment forum. We started analyzing those during last week's call, and we've also discussed ways to expedite the review of public comments, but there didn't seem to be a lot of traction to entirely let go of the group exercise to review the public comments that we received, and particularly in the light of the fact that we have received multiple reports or comments from non-working group members. We've now prepared this call, or I should better say Barry has prepared this call in a fashion where we have summaries or abstracts of the reports in the public comment review tool. And we will go through the individual items, discuss them, and see whether there are any actions required by the working group to change what we have in our draft final report. I should also note that I have, as I did during last week's call, and as I guess Barry did on the mailing list, reminded all working group members to actually go through all public comments individually, read them to see whether there is any need for changing the final report that we've published. And I would very much like to encourage all of you that hopefully there will not be too many of you because all of you have read them, but those of you who haven't, please do so, because we need to do justice to those that have taken the time to publicly comment on what we did, to digest what they wrote and actually incorporate the findings into our thinking. Now, with this, I would like to hand over to Barry to guide us through the public comments that we haven't yet analyzed during last week's call.
Thank you, Thomas. This is Barry with staff. before we pick up on new comments, I just wanted to briefly review through what we had reviewed last week in terms of the comments. As Thomas mentioned, a new change is that we added a quick abstract or summary statement to the comment to avoid having to read line by line each one of the comments. And as Thomas also mentioned, that's why it's very important for all members to have thoroughly read through each of the comments so that we can discuss any elements that may impact or change our final report and the recommendations contained within. So with that, I'd just like to briefly run through these summary statements of the comments that we reviewed, just to refresh your memory and so that you can kind of get a feel for what's been changed from the last version. So starting on row one was the registry stakeholder group's response. As you'll recall, we went through their spreadsheet last week, which was one of the more detailed responses per our recommendations that we had loaded into our final report. And in terms of trying to summarize that, I think that was a little bit of a challenge. So you can see I kind of copped out here, and that we'll just make reference to the registry spreadsheet for any details of their response, which I'll be sure to include a link here. But essentially, there were two recommended actions as we reviewed through each of the tabs of their spreadsheet. And that was one that it definitely sounds like that there's more work we need to do around the exception procedure that we have listed into the final report. I suspect what we may need to do is try to come to agreement on a single exception procedure that is detailed enough that it will guide implementation when any kind of exception procedure is being considered for any protections that may be granted, and then as well as a secondary exercise, which we'll try to start. That we'll try to start incorporating next week, and that is to kind of reconfirm our levels of consensus that we've assigned for each recommendation. And I think more or less that's really more a validation exercise after we've reviewed each of the comments. You know, we need to continually ask ourselves, is any of the comments substantially change our recommendation or the language of the recommendation, or perhaps even add new recommendations? And then again, just to confirm the level of support across the working group members. So with that, I'll go ahead and just quickly move through each one of these. Alan, I see your hand is raised.
Yeah, something I hadn't quite picked up on, I should have, when we were reviewing the draft report, but the registry comment brings it home. Although we present what we believe is the level of consensus or divergence or whatever for each of the points, we do not have a table saying how the various working group members or constituencies supported or rejected that. So we can see this divergent. We don't know who was on what side. We see there's consensus, but we don't know who, since it wasn't full consensus. You can't tell by reading the report who it is that that disagreed. And I think that's a really important thing that we've left out. Now, you know, the registries and some other groups may well fill that gap by putting a comment in, detailing their position on each of them, but I think that's something the report really needs to do itself.
Thank you, Alan, and you're exactly right, and that's not only is it an important point, but it is a requirement before we submit the final report, and more specifically, each recommendation will contain the levels of support that we refined through our consensus call as we migrated into the final version. And as you stated, that will help tease out exactly where the support lied with a particular recommendation or where it didn't, or where there wasn't support for a particular recommendation.
Okay.
I'm working with Marika and others to determine exactly how we should present that.
Okay, so sending that message to people is important because I know on behalf of at large, I'm in the basis of creating such a table since it isn't, you know, for our positions. And if we know definitively it is going to be in the report, then that's work that we don't have to do and other people don't have to do. So I think it's important to come to closure on that soon.
Understood. I'll send a note out to our list just to remind members that will be added. I've started the next version of the final report that has comments or changes that have been started on since we submitted the draft final version. But what I was going to mention in terms of how we present the levels of support, what I'm hoping to do, and I'm still looking for guidance on this, is figuring out a way that I can try to consolidate the responses. If you'll recall, and I'll just pop over to this real quickly just to remind working group members, and I happened to bring it up. I did send it out last night, but as you'll remember, each recommendation had a series of statements per the individual or group representing, and some of them were lengthy or some of them were very short to support or don't support. And I'm hoping that somehow we can distill that down as to support, no support, or perhaps no answer, a tertiary response, just so that that it's equal across all of the members that are represented, but yet still shows definitively as to where the support lied or where it didn't. So I'm still trying to get some clarification on that. Alan, please.
Given that some of us, as shown by your statement that some people had more than a yes-no answer to them, that we were not happy with the wording, and some further clarification is needed, I'm not sure you can distill it a lot. I know certainly in the cases where ALAC put in something that wasn't just a yes-no or a yes-but, I think that has to be preserved in the consensus call. Thank you.
All right. I definitely, yes. I mean, you are right. My concern here is that we're going to have, you know, this document you see before you is 25 pages long for each one of the recommendations. And I want to try to avoid that for the main section of the final report, you know, to try to keep it to where it's at now at 6 or 7 pages. Perhaps we can create an annex that references each level of support, and in the main body we try to do a distilled summary. Or in fact, to your point, Alan, you know, you're comments that were supplied that wanted better clarification on particular recommendation, that is very important to include. Again, I'm just trying to figure out a way that we can try to make it more digestible by persons external to the working group. And, again, that's why I'm trying to seek some advice from Marika and some of the more veterans on what a good approach might be.
If I can offer a suggestion, which I may or may not like once I think about it further, the full comment, like kind of the kind you're showing on the screen, could well be in an annex. If you want to include something in the main body, and I think it does deserve that, you know, for divergent, I'm not sure there's a lot of merit in trying to identify who's on who. Certainly for consensus, identifying who was against it, you know, is something you can't omit.
All right, great. Thank you for that. And I, without a doubt, I'll have more information for the working group for our next call, and I'll definitely send that out to the list as well. All right. So let me get back to the public comment review tool. And so, again, just to carry forward on a quick review of our previous row two, which was from Charles Christopher. And again, I found this kind of difficult that it was at least a challenge to try to summarize someone else's comments in fear of overlooking a particular critical point that they may have tried to present in their comments. And what you'll see as you scroll through the tool is I did provide the abstract, and if there was something of a particular interest that I didn't think that the working group had discussed before, I also highlighted that out so that we can discuss it here and just to make sure that we covered the bases. So here with row two, basically the participant didn't support any recommendations to reserve strings if any of the reservations were created, that it would disrupt the internet marketplace. Again, this person was very concerned that the recovery of any names in the existing PLD space would basically infringe on existing property rights and the like. As we reviewed it last week, the working group noted the response and sent some further comments, but don't believe that it required any changes to any of our existing recommendations. And I think also that this was a case where there may have been confusion in terms of what recommendations were being supported with respect to how a policy would be deployed in the existing PLD. And if anybody has any questions or comments based on what I'm outlining, please raise your hand or interrupt right away. I want to make sure we maintain dialogue on these. Row three, again, basically it's kind of a reiteration that the participant didn't support recommendation to reserve strings in PLD, nor was a recovery of the domains within incumbent PLD supported. Like the last one, we noted that the response and that no actions were required. Row five was touching upon the top-level protections that were proposed. This was submitted from the ICA, the Internet Commerce Association. They can support reservation protection of exact match full names at the top level, but they did not support any recommendation to reserve acronyms at the top level. They also note that the existing GTLD, new GTLD objection procedures or processes are sufficient to prevent application of any protected identifiers, or more or less stating that any reservation protections would be likely be mute. And I think that's kind of similar to the ALAC position, but if need be, the ICA could support reservations at the top levels for the full names of the organizations being considered. For the most part, that does fall in line with the recommendations that the group has out on the table, and we noted that there was no actions required at this point. Moving on to row 10, and again, forgive the blank rows, I'm leaving space for if we get any other comments that are submitted between now and, I guess, next Thursday, the final version, I'll remove any blank rows. Row 10, again, was also from the ICA, and this is regarding any second-level protections. The ICA did support reservation and or trademark claims protection of exact match full names at the second level, but they did not support any recommendation to reserve acronyms, nor did they support the use of claims notification. They did also mention that they would support access to the curative RPMs, such as UDRP or URS. And although it wasn't specifically called out, in a sense, it seemed to suggest that they would support that a PDP would need to be, or that they would support a PDP to discuss access to the curative rights protection, which is an action that I have listed over here to the right. And one thing, if you'll recall, there's a general recommendation section within our final report. The first recommendation there is to initiate an issues report to initiate a PDP to review UDRP URS access. One thing that we'll also share for next week's meeting is a template form that has been created anytime an issue report is requested, and it has a series of questions just to not to minimize it, but basically what, why, how, and where, just to help provide more detailed information when this recommendation is being deliberated by the council so that they can better respond to that recommendation. We'll have a draft available for you next week, and then, of course, we look forward to working group input to make sure that we've responded to each one of the questions appropriately. And we'll include that as an annex within the final report and draw attention to that when the council reviews the report. Okay, I'm seeing no hands or comments, so I'll move quickly on down to row 16. Again, we reviewed this last week. This is from Sergio D. Gregory. The participant does support protections of IGO acronyms, basically restating that there is a legal basis for the reservation protection of acronym identifiers, and that it's also in terms or consistent with ICANN's mission about protecting the public interest. But essentially, this is, it was acknowledged by the working group. It is a recommendation that we've deliberated extensively, and currently right now it doesn't seem to be support for the protection of acronyms in terms of reservation within Spec 5. However, there is support for the acronyms to be bulk added into the trademark clearinghouse. And so as such, no actions required thus far for changes to the draft final report. You'll have to excuse me today. My throat's a little raspy, so I apologize if I'm not coming in very clear or a little scratchy sounding. Okay, this takes us on to our first new comment for today. This is on row 26, and essentially I made a section that was specifically referencing the implementation. It's more or less the implementation of any policies that we may create out of this working group and how they may be implemented or applied to incumbent GTLD. This is predominantly, I think, a majority of the comments that we received thus far, and most of them are individuals in the community that have responded back. And for the most part, as the way I interpreted the comments, were not supportive of protections for acronyms, either through reservations or through use into a clearinghouse, nor was there any support for recovering any strings within existing GTLDs. I think for the most part, there wasn't a distinguishment between a full name versus an acronym. Most of these responses or these comments are they mostly focused in on acronyms, and I think it can be implied that for the most part they were applying to the full name as well. So row 26 is from George Kirikos. The abstract summary is that there was no support for policy changes that would affect the rights of existing domain names and the owners behind them. Even for new GTLDs, such protections are not warranted. The most famous marks of IGOs already have strong protection in law and can be asserted via existing policies like the UDRP. Any changes at most should only affect freshly registered domains, example given in new GTLDs, so that registrants were aware of the policy before they registered such names. If there are to be any policy changes, they should be designed in such a way to subsidize UDRP costs for qualified IGOs rather than maintaining a reserve list. That can address real abuse in a cost-effective manner where no significant abuse occurs. ICANN should not be considering policy changes. And so with that, I'll open it up for comments if anybody care to respond. As I take it, though, essentially, that it doesn't support reservations of any acronyms within at the second level for within new GTLDs nor existing GTLDs. However, it could be supported in the new GTLDs, but only to the point that that RPMs would be used, more curative measures, and perhaps in a subsidized fashion that. In terms of making it cost effective. As I recall from our recommendations, we've talked about both the reservation of acronyms within Specification 5, as to which there was no support. We've also talked about the UDRP, fee waivers for UDRP or URS, and at the present level, it doesn't seem that there's support for that particular recommendation. However, as we've mentioned previously, there is support for having a PDP about UDRP URS. Are there any other comments, any actions that the working group should take based on George's comment that you submitted here? Okay, hearing and seeing none, if you'll give me just a moment, I will let me update my documents.
Barry, this is Thomas. Just while you're digging out the other document, I certainly do note the conversation going on in the chat, and rest assured that we will certainly get back to the question of divergence and how recommendations are being displayed and how the consensus level inside the group is presented in the report. I've seen a lot of comments on that, but we should reserve that discussion for such time when we have digested all public comments, because I think it would be wouldn't be that appropriate to just take out the specific item and then draw conclusions for the report as such before we've seen everything that came in. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Thomas. That was a good gap fill while I made some notes. Okay, moving forward, row 27. This is from Jay Shurao from the public comment forum. I could not ascertain what his first name was. But in summary, their comment was that the participant does not support any recommendation to reserve or recover streams in existing TLDs because the rights of organizations seeking protection do not supersede those of other legitimate entities. So, you know, in short, based on the comments supplied, I couldn't see that this person had supported any of the recommendations regarding any protections, especially in terms of recovery of names within existing TLDs. Any comments or suggestions? I think for the most part we can state this as noted by the working group and no actions required unless anybody objects to that. Okay, 1 second. Okay, moving on to row 28. This comment was submitted by Alex Lerman. Very much dissimilar, the participant does not support any recommendation to reserve or recover streams in existing TLDs. One thing that I highlighted within this comment that I can't recall had ever been discussed, at least within our discussion around how any policy would infect the incumbent TLDs. But this person did highlight that if such a proposed policy were to be considered, then just compensation should possibly be considered. Not only highlight that because we never discussed it, however, in terms of the structure of our current recommendations, or I should say with the high-level principles that we outline for implementation of any proposed policies in incumbent TLDs, I think it was highlighted that it would only be in a nature that a name was dropped out of the zone and made available for made available for registration, at which point that particular name would be recovered. Any of those prior to the name being deleted would still follow normal the normal life cycle of a domain, such as if it were being sold in the aftermarket or registered or renewed, et cetera. And I think Alan will probably clarify what I'm trying to say. Please, Alan.
Thank you. I don't have the report in front of me. I do recall there was one work group participant who strongly believed that ICANN and registries must take measures to recover domain names and unregister them. I did not think we recommended that in the body of the report, although there may be a minority statement that says something to that effect. However, given that several people, commenters, think we said that, we really need to make sure the words are clear that this is not what we're saying. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Alan. Yes, you're right. I believe it was part of a minority statement from the NCSG, and I do have it highlighted in comments below, and I think it was a response from George Kurikos that was highlighting that. But in terms of the principles that the working group supplied in the main body of its report, it does not state that. I think that was, again, just a position from the NCSG.
Yeah,
and I'll take the action just to confirm it.
No, sorry, Barry. What I was saying is I think you're correct in fact. However, this person and the previous one seem to be convinced that we recommended something else, because they're talking about compensation, they're talking about removing rights that were granted 10, 20 years ago. We need to be explicitly clear that this is not what we're recommending, not by not mentioning it, but by explicitly saying that. The minority report still stands, but the body of the report needs to make clear, because obviously people are misunderstanding it.
Barry?
Barry, I guess Jim would like to get in the queue. Jim?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that in that comment by Mr. Lehrman, it says the proposed changes by the non-majority.
Thank you, but the previous one I don't think was that clear. And the fact that people are even mentioning it raises the specter that there may be a misunderstanding. I'm just saying we need to make sure that the recommendation is explicit, since there seems to be an opportunity for people to misunderstand or make assumptions.
Yeah, I agree.
But, Alan, I guess you're raising an important point. This is not the only comment where one might get the impression that the reader of the report got a false impression of what we were recommending. There are other comments which sort of sound like we were, as a group, suggesting that IGO acronyms should be protected. So maybe the way the recommendations and their outcome was presented was not as clear as it should be. So I guess your point, Alan, is well taken, as well as there are other points where we might try to be as clear as possible when we go through the report again, so that a potential confusion by the reader can be avoided efficiently.
Yeah, Thomas, I think that's exactly right. We can stand by our virtuousness and say we didn't say that, you bozo got it wrong, but we have an obligation that if there's places where people may likely misunderstand, that we try to avoid it ahead of time.
Which is true, and to be quite honest, I think this work that we're doing at the moment, going through the reports individually, is something that we also might publicly state somewhere, so that people don't get the impression that we're sort of arrogant enough to just neglect what they were suggesting. So I think the community needs to understand that we take all incoming comments very seriously, and that we deliberate them where needed, and that certainly also includes the need to be rectifying wrong impressions that are out there. May they be because we haven't been as clear as we could in the report, or may they be because people might have misread what we wrote. But we would certainly bear that in mind and come up with a suggestion to reflect that in the report or outside the report, whatever is the suitable place to do that.
Yeah, Thomas, if I may make one comment, you're moderately new to this game. It wasn't very many years ago that PDP work groups did basically not even look at the comments and publish their final report with no changes. So some people have long memories, and not even that long.
But even more so, should we demonstrate that these times have long gone?
Well, they're not long gone. They're gone, hopefully, though.
Okay.
Oh, they're gone from this working group.
Okay, Barry, why don't we continue with the reports? So you had a few minutes to catch your breath. Actually, you're doing a splendid job. This is very exhausting, as I can mention, particularly as your voice is a little bit you know, should I say damage or not in the shape that it should be. But thanks for taking that burden.
My pleasure. And I'm taking some rough notes in terms of what we'll post in within the working group response cell and the recommended action. However, I do intend to go back through the MP3 and properly document everything that's being said here. So I appreciate that. Okay, moving on to row 29. This comment was submitted from Chip Mead. In summary, the participant did not support any recommendation to reserve or recover strings in existing GTLDs and prefers that no protections are granted in new GTLDs, again, basically citing that the rights of organizations seeking protection do not supersede those of other legitimate entities. And I think that more or less this comment falls in line with the previous two. Most of the discussion, again, was about in terms of trademark rights and trying to compare those with that of the IGOs, as well as in terms of recovery of strings within existing GTLDs was a massive overreach from the policies that were being discussed here. So I will note this as basically our noted response and thanking the participant for their comments. I don't think that it changes any of our recommendations. And so the recommended action for here would be nothing required. Okay, I'll move forward to row 30. This comment was submitted by Nat Cohen. And an abstract similar to the previous, the participant does not support any recommendation to reserve or recover acronym identifiers in existing GTLDs because rights of organizations seeking protection do not supersede those of other legitimate entities. There does seem to be support for the protection of IOC and RCRC identifiers that was specifically called out in the comments. But it didn't make any reference to the scope of those identifiers, or more specifically, it didn't call out Scope 1 or Scope 2 type names for those two organizations. There was one other thing that I wanted to highlight within the comment that's highlighted in yellow. The commenter also stated that there is very good reason why historically the protections afforded to the Red Cross and the Olympics are restricted to these particular organizations, that they are well known to hundreds of millions of people worldwide. The rationale for the special protections for these two organizations does not extend to every obscure international organization ever created, and certainly not to acronyms that these organizations share with hundreds or thousands of other entities. So I just wanted to highlight that, or at least call that out verbally here. Any comments or discussion around this particular comment? I think overall it's one that can be listed as acknowledged, the comments. I don't believe that it necessarily changes any of our existing recommendations other than to perhaps clear up the confusion about the support or lack thereof support for acronym protection. All right, great. Moving forward. And while I am scrolling, and I just kind of had an idea within my own head, having reviewed lots of comments over the years. I actually kind of enjoying this format. Certainly when a working group encounters a large number of comments, it is very tedious to review or especially read through line by line of the comments submitted. I'm kind of enjoying this abstract or summarized method by which we review the comments. And so once we have completed this exercise, I would really love to hear from working group members and hopefully others external to this if this is a possible a good approach for how we deal with public comments in the future as well. Certainly we want to make sure that comments are heard, they're deliberated, and nothing swept under the rug. But at the same time, it's been experiences in the past where reviewing through comments can be a multi-month exercise, let alone just a multi-week exercise. So trying to strike the right balance is important. Okay, row 31, this comment was from Paul Tattersfield. Essentially, the participant did not support any recommendation to reserve or recover acronym identifiers in existing PLDs, again, citing that the protections or rights of the organization seeking protection did not supersede those of other legitimate interests or entities. Specifically, this commenter touched on the holding of existing property and rules within, I think, his own jurisdiction, and the security around that and the IP rights did not get undermined. I'm not seeing any comments or hands on this one. I think similar to the previous ones, the working group will acknowledge the comment, but it doesn't change any of our existing recommendations. And as I mentioned, in terms of clarifying some of our language in the report, seems to be the consistent theme here that did cause some confusion. Okay, moving on to row 32. This comment was submitted by Patrick Quinn. The abstract, again, the participant does not support any recommendation to reserve or recover acronyms, identifiers, and existing GPLDs, again, because organizations seeking protection do not supersede those of other legitimate entities. And basically, he just had mentioned about carving out special exceptions for IGOs and INGOs would undermine the most basic of property rights. And not seeing any hands or discussion, I think this is kind of repetitive in terms that the working group will acknowledge the comment. I don't think that it will change any of our existing recommendations, or certainly this is what has more or less been deliberated on by the working group. Okay, moving on to row 33. This was submitted by the ICA Internet Commerce Association. And I did highlight a good chunk of this because I thought that it was a valuable feedback for the working group. It may or may not necessarily, it might slightly adjust some of our recommendation, or at least force us to call out more specifically what a particular recommendation may be required to get it implemented. So again, this is from the ICA. The association doesn't support any recommendation to reserve or recover identifiers in existing GPLDs. Again, noting the rights of the organization seeking protection do not supersede those with others, but they do support the possible use of curative RPMs. And I'm going to go ahead and read off the highlighted section again, because I think this will be valuable for us. They note that, finally, in regard to any incumbent GPLD, while we appreciate and support the recommendation that any currently registered domain matching a protected IGO or INGO identifier shall, in quotes from our report, shall be handled like any existing registered name within the incumbent GPLD, regarding renewals, transfer, sale, change of registrant, et cetera, we strongly oppose the adoption of any policy that would first define or create a mechanism against this specious and completely speculative possibility of front-running of domain registrations of IGO and INGO identifiers. The next bullet excludes such a domain from any add-drop activities by the registrar in the event it becomes eligible for deletion or makes such deleted domains ineligible for future re-registration. And the third bullet, in any way sanction the involuntary seizure or deletion of any identifier, exact match acronym domain that is registered now or maybe in the future at any become the GTLD. And then again, they restated the possible use of curative RPMs within our structure of recommendations. So not to take any way of the dialogue from the working group, but what I'm pulling out from this comment is that there might be issues in terms of some of the principles that we've highlighted for deploying this policy within the incumbent GTLDs. In terms of a working group response, I can state that, again, you know, we think that the comments or the commenter for the comments, but more the recommended action, I think, is something that we should probably revisit the principles that we've highlighted within our final report, and make sure that possibly incorporate some of the ideas that are mentioned here and just make sure that we connect and complete that properly. Any comments or suggestions with regard to this comment? Alan, please.
Sorry, did you call on me?
Oh, yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, Alan, you have the floor.
Oh, okay, sorry. I somehow I cut out. I'm having trouble parsing this. If I look in the middle of the first big paragraph, it says, we strongly oppose the adoption of any policy that would create a mechanism against the specious or completely speculative report. I think they're saying that means they support specious and completely speculative front-running. Now, specious has a negative connotation to it, and they could certainly say we support things that are negative and bad, but I want to make sure I'm understanding this, because that sounds like there's a possibility of a misunderstanding here.
Thank you, Alan. Yeah, I agree, and this is part of the reason why I highlighted them. I wanted to make sure that we thoroughly got a good understanding of what the ICA was trying to comment here on, and if need be, we can certainly email them back to if we need any clarification. Greg, please.
Yeah, I think that the word specious here is modifying the term possibility, not the front-running itself. So they're basically, you know, like lawyers like to do, using, you know, doubling up on words. You know, not only is it completely speculative that the possibility exists, it's also specious. In other words, bullshit and more bullshit.
Okay. All right. That sort of makes sense.
You know, like vague and unsupported.
Yeah. No. Okay. Fine. Great.
Thank you. Why use one, you know, word when five will do?
When five will do.
Especially in pairs. Thank you.
And with the word and without appropriate commas. Thank you for explaining it. Now I think I may have a chance of understanding it and then could comment. I'm not sure I'm there yet, though.
Great. Thank you, Alan and Greg. Any other comments in regard to this? Would it be agreed that I think in terms of general action is that we just need to pay closer attention to the principles that we outlined in terms of deploying this within incumbent GTLDs and make sure that these line up? Right.
Yeah, they do raise an interest. It's Alan. Sorry to butt in. They do raise an interesting issue regarding front running, however, and by publishing a policy saying you will not be able to register names afterwards in existing TLDs, but not having a prohibition dating back to something or other, does give the opportunity for a huge amount of front-running.
Absolutely, and I think Chuck had mentioned this several months ago, and I don't have the report in front of me right now, but I thought that there was one bullet listed in there that would talk about trying to protect these names prior to even the board considering any recommendations or to do whatever is needed, basically, to avoid any chance of front-running. And, Greg, yeah. Maybe you...
And that statement is probably what ICA is commenting on.
Yeah, this is Greg. I would agree. That's what they're commenting on, suggesting that it's a boogeyman and that it won't happen, and they would oppose having any such sort of block put on to discourage front running. And they're generally opposed to taking these things out of the wild at any point in time in the incumbent GTLDs. So that if there was a drop, it would remain in the wild. That's the sense I get from reading them, is that that there should be no protections, retrospective, prospective, or the like, other than curative, UDRP, URS, and the like. Thanks. Which I don't agree with, but that's what I think they're saying.
But is there, this is Thomas speaking, is there the wish of the group to sort of take note that we will need to take a look at the issue of front running?
In regard to this, we need to go back. It's Alan. We need to go back and look at what we're saying and make sure it's reflecting the general views of this group. Yes.
So, Barry, maybe provisionally you put into the recommended action box that we will have to take a look at the front-running issue. Certainly this doesn't prejudice the outcome of our further deliberations, but just to make sure that we don't forget it.
And just to add, as long as my hand is up, I'll speak again, Greg. This is on page 33 of the report. It's the second bullet point under principles of implementation to which they're responding.
Thanks, Greg.
Great. Yes, thank you, Greg. All right, let's go ahead and move along to row 34. This comment was submitted by Jay Chapman. The abstract is that the participant does not support any recommendation to reserve or recover acronym identifiers in existing GTLDs, again, citing that the protections do not supersede those of legitimate entities. In terms of reading the comment itself, he supported George Kirikas's comment. And I didn't see anything else in terms of trying to highlight or draw attention to the working group here. So like previous ones, we'll note the response and no required actions with regard to this comment. And I see no hands or comments, so we'll move on to Rose.
Sorry, it's Alan. I'm trying to raise my hand unsuccessfully. I think this one, essentially reinforces what I said before. If someone is saying it's disturbing, the work group is even considering, when in fact this work group rejected, that indicates a need for clarity.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Alan. I'll note that. And
having the microphone, I'll say it's almost on the hour, and I have to leave in 2 minutes.
Oh, great. Thank you, Alan, and thank you for joining us for the first hour. Appreciate that. And Greg, please.
I guess I would just add to what Alan said, and in terms of clarifying this, I think as a working group, we're duty-bound to consider what any one member puts up as a possibility, even if we're rejecting it, and if that member or that member's stakeholder organization wants to put it in as a minority report, we're duty-bound to include it, regardless of the support or lack of support in the rest of the group. So there's nothing disturbing about this. This is the process of considering minority and majority positions, working as it should. I'm sorry that I don't know if anybody from the NCSG is on the call. I'm wondering if they sincerely support that position, or if that is kind of just trying to put toxic waste into the way that we deal with incumbent domains by saying by putting out something that's bad and as a position. But I don't know if that's really what's going on here or not. So I would be curious to know if this is really how they would want it to be if we went down that road. But you know, I guess we'll have to let the minority position speak for itself for the moment. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Alan.
Yeah. With regard to that, I have no doubt that Avery strongly supports it, and you know, if the NCSG has chosen to ratify that, then the NCSG supports it. I don't think there's any intention to to put toxic waste in just to mess up the pie, but to what extent they would have come up with it on their own is not really for us to decide. But with regard to considering it, yes, we considered it, and we may consider it again in this process of reviewing the comments. But as of the time the report was published, we had considered it, and after due discussion, rejected it, thus the minority report. So I think the tense of the verb matters. And although I think it is quite appropriate for us to have considered it, if we considered it and decided not to include that as a recommendation, then we are no longer considering it at the time the report was published. We may choose to reopen it, of course.
Great. Thank you, Alan. Right, if there are no other comments for row 34, we'll move on to row 35. This comment was submitted by Joseph Peterson. The others before it, the participant does not support recommendation to reserve or recover acronym identifiers in existing GTLDs, again, citing that the rights would supersede those of legitimate entities, and also highlighted that such policies would infringe on the rights of free speech. I didn't highlight that. I think that was basically the submitter's last paragraph, which is something that I think had been briefly touched on in previous or some of our initial deliberations when this working group was formed. Any comments or suggestions about this particular comment and how it might affect our report? I think in general it kind of falls in line with the previous one. Alan had typed into the chat about the use of the word recover, and that's probably my fault in terms of I see what's okay. Moving along to row 38. This was a section that I had carved out because it seemed to focus directly in on the minority positions that were included at the bottom of Section 5 of our final report. This comment is from George Kirikos. The abstract is that, essentially he doesn't support any recommendation to reserve or recover acronym identifiers in existing GTLDs. More specifically, he was referring to the minority position that was supplied by the NCUC, and I think we had just briefly touched on that from our previous comments. I'm not so sure that this will affect any of our current recommendations other than what we've discussed earlier in terms of trying to clarify some of the language within the report to make it much more clear about what was supported and what wasn't supported. Any comments or suggestions about this particular comment? All right, hearing and seeing none, I'll move forward to row 39. And this comment was submitted by the UPU. It was actually a minority statement embedded within the registry stakeholder group public comment response. It seemed worthy to extract it out of the comment to make sure that it was included here. As you know, I believe the the person affiliated with the UPU is a member of our working group. But in short, their minority statement is that the participant does support the reservation protections of full names and acronym identifiers because IGOs are afforded this status under international law and treaty and thus serving the public interest. The protection of IGO identifiers is in line with the ICANN mission and also aligns with the GAC advice. Without the acronym protections, the remaining recommendations are insufficient. The comments are quite extensive, but I think I tried to capture the essence here within the abstract. I believe that this particular comment or position has been deliberated on several times within the working group, but I am open to any comments here by the members today, and if there are any actions that we should take in regards to this comment. Right, hearing and seeing none, so we're getting very close to the end here. In fact, I think we only have two more comments to review through. What I've tried to do here is carve out a section that are basically the replies within the public comment period. As you'll know, our public comment period closed on the 11th, I believe, of October, and then we do a 21-day reply period whereby community members can reply to any of the comments previously submitted. As you'll know, we still continue to accept new comments, but in particular, some community members do choose to specifically reply or counter-reply based on some original comments. This reply was submitted by George Kirikos, and it's in response to the, I think it was to the comments submitted by, I should have wrote this in the summary. From the comments submitted by Sergio and Hope McKenna, I believe that they were representatives from IGOs. The abstract to the comment, though, is that, again, the participant doesn't support recommendations on reserving or recovering acronym identifiers and existing GTLDs, adding that this issue was rejected by the community in the past. I think he's making reference to the Reserve Names Working Group back in 2007. The participant also questions reference and use to Article 6 TER as a basis for legal protection, and also makes notes that existing temporary protections of the new GTLD Specification 5 conflict with what will be competing legitimate uses by more than one party. And again, this is a repeated notion that these organizations seeking protection already have their quote-unquote carve-outs in existing PLDs like .INT. But essentially, the comments supplied here by George are a little bit more extensive than what I included in the abstract. However, I think that that pretty much falls in line with what recommendations are not supported by George from the working group, and I think it falls in line with the previous comments that he has submitted. Any comments or suggestions with regard to this comment? Okay, we'll advance this forward to, I think there's one more, which is row 46, and again, this is from George Kirikos, and this was in response also from Sergio and Hope McKenna's statement, and again, just reiterating that it doesn't support the acronym identifier protection. And these, I think what was interesting or highlight of this particular response is noting that the IOC and the Red Cross have successfully filed UDRPs in the past. And he makes the statement that the low volume of those UDRPs perhaps indicates that there's not sufficient harm to warrant any policy changes for protection. And again, that the UDRP is perhaps already an effective mechanism by which to defend or mitigate abuse out there. And I believe George had cited earlier that he could support access to these RPMs for any IGO or INGO, or at the very least support a PDP that would review that. Okay, so that takes us through the comments we have posted thus far. Again, we have exactly 7.5 days before the reply period closes. We do meet again next Wednesday on the 30th. I suspect we'll have just about all the comments by then to review at our next session. There may be one or two more that are submitted exactly at the 11th hour on the 31st, as to which we still have one more session on the 6th to review through those. So I think that will conclude reviewing the public comments so far. As I mentioned earlier, once the MP3 and transcript are posted, I'll go back and listen through that so that I properly document the response and action for this tool. And we can move forward on to the next steps. Essentially, in terms of, well, I'll stop there. Thomas, I'll turn it back over to you if you have any other comments you'd like to make. And then maybe we can just review through the work plan to wrap up the meeting for the day, unless there's other things.
Thanks very much, Barry. You've done a great job summarizing this for us and also presenting and sharing this part of the call for us. Before we move to the next agenda item, what I'd like to do actually is to briefly summarize with you, you meaning the whole group, the areas that we've identified where we need to maybe add a little bit of clarity to the report or provide clarity elsewhere. What I've taken note of is the issue of front running. I think we need to say something about the misunderstanding surrounding the IGO acronym protection. I think we need to speak to the alleged issue of seizing domain names or taking domain names away from registrants that do have names that might be protected in existing TLDs. So these are the main areas that I thought we need to address, but I will open it up to the group to add other items to that list. So at the moment, I'm not hearing anything. Claudia is writing. Barry.
Thank you, Thomas. This is Barry. And just as a heads up to the working group, as I mentioned, I've started the next version as we work our way towards the final version of our final report. And right now I've highlighted or used track changes for a couple of the small changes that we've uncovered, mostly thanks to Chuck's detailed review of the report. And I've also highlighted some comments within the report, I think, which pretty much aligns to what you had just stated, Thomas, about some of the areas that we need to make sure that we review again at a more detailed manner before we finalize the report. Anyway, what my statement here is that when I send out the next version of our public comment review tool, after I've gone through the notes, I'll also include, I think it's version 1.1 of the draft final report, and you'll be able to see some of the highlights. And I do invite working group members to start to review most specifically Section 5 of our report and start to propose any changes that we might need to make to the report, send those to the list. I can start to incorporate those suggestions into the master version. And I think certainly part of next week's meeting I suspect that we'll still have some comments to review, but I think we'll also allocate some time to start reviewing through the report and specifically touching on some of the sections that was highlighted by Thomas.
Great. Thanks, Barry. And unless there are further points to add, and I don't see anybody raising his or her hand or writing in the chat, we can move to the next agenda item, which is a quick review of the work plan. Basically, we are on track with our recent planning that you're already familiar with. I'd just like to let you know that after the reply period has ended, I will do another briefing for the GNSO Council. Again, this is not to be mistaken as a presentation of recommendations or a motion on recommendations to the Council, because we will not have finalized our deliberations, but I will brief the Council on the status of the public comments and the status of our work so that all councillors are fully informed of where we are in order to reduce the risk of councillors asking for a deferral at the upcoming ICAM meeting. So the plan is to stay on track so that we can actually have the council discuss, deliberate, and ultimately vote on the recommendations that we're going to present. Now, the next meeting is going to take place on the 30th of this month, same time, but please do make sure that you keep an eye on the daylight saving time changes that might occur in your time zone. And I'm sure that I forgot something important to say, which is why Barry has raised his hands and will surely correct me or add to what I just said. Barry, please, fire away.
Thank you, Thomas. This Barry, it's definitely not a correction, but an add. I just wanted to remind the members as well that, again, I am going to be working with Marika on how best to present the support or non-support for our recommendations so that it's concise and clear. So that's definitely something that we're working forward to. I also will, in terms of kind of forecasting, for our 6th November meeting or shortly after our 31st October GNSO Council meeting, I'm going to be preparing our recommendations with the levels of consensus and the support with that. Essentially, it's going to be a matrix, though, that's going to be a tool that will help us formulate how the recommendations will be presented to the GNSO Council. And one of the things that I need to work with the more experienced members of ICANN staff is some of the recommendations are true consensus policy changes, and some of the recommendations are just initiations of PDPs, some of the other recommendations are maybe perhaps just updates to the applicant guidebook. And each one of these recommendations, or I guess I should say buckets of recommendations, have slightly varied voting thresholds within the GNSO Council. So that's something that we're going to start preparing to better facilitate when these recommendations are presented at the Council, as well as I think what is also an important outcome from the tool that I'm mentioning is that it'll help us formulate the actual resolution statements that will be presented to the Council. So to close off my long-winded statement here, for the 6th November meeting, I'd like to have a draft resolution to share with the working group so that we can make sure that we have everything lined up with what the final results of from the recommendations of the report are going to be. Allow the working group input into that draft that draft resolution so that we know that it's tight and is presentable to the GNSO Council by the 10th November. And so while we are meeting on the 6th, we do have 3 days left three business days left before the deadline on, I think, Monday, the November 10th or something along those lines. I forget which day. To complete our final report, get it submitted to the Council, as well as also submit a draft resolution. So again, to Thomas's point, to try to mitigate any chance of these recommendations being pushed off into the December meeting. And that's all I have.
Thank you very much, Barry. And unless working group members have anything further to add, I can close this call early. So for those of you who want to take a look at the webinar, you will still be able to join that. I'm looking forward to talking to you next way and thanks next week, and thanks very much for your participation today. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.